Good morning and welcome to this local production of Divine Mercy Radio. I am Bill Gent and our program is called Treasures of Faith. And I'm so glad that you have joined us this beautiful day. I am joined by Father Ben Barinti, and Father Ben is the pastor of Immaculate Conception Parish in Melbourne Beach. And Father Ben, we're just so thankful that you joined us during this Lenten season. And we've been talking about prayer, and this is all stemming from the book entitled The Art of Praying by Romano Gardini, and he is a priest. I think he lived in Germany, as far as I remember, Father. And just by way of review, where have we been on during our series on the subject of prayer?
Well, it's great to be here again as we near the end of our Lenten journey. So as we've talked about during the course of our little pilgrimage, I guess I would call it, we've really looked at a number of different aspects about prayer. So we sort of began our series talking about how important it is when we're engaging in any kind of prayer experience, whether it's, you know, something elaborate or just grabbing a few minutes with the Lord or whatever, how important preparation for prayer is. And I think this is many times where we get stuck. You know, we just kind of jump into something. We either, you know, open the devotional or break open the scriptures or grab the beads and or show up at the Eucharist, you know, as the sign of the cross is being made, and then we think we're just going to jump into it as the train is passing us by, and then wonder why it doesn't seem like a lot is happening. And so he begins his book really talking about how important preparation for prayer is, and that the prayer, Guardini would say early on, that prayer is only as good as the preparation for it. So I think that's, as we kind of review where we've been, that's a great place to begin. He uses the expression we talked about in our very first time together, recollection. He said the beginning of prayer is recollection. And what he meant by that was not so much recollection, like I need to recall things, but literally recollecting. In other words, I need to sort of collect myself. I need to put aside certain kind of distractions and concerns, become more present. What's my posture? What's my composure? If I'm a mass of nerves, I need to, you know, take a couple of deep breaths, awareness of what it is I'm engaging in, and just simply, you know, beginning by resting in the presence of God, the face of God who I'm going to meet in prayer. So that whole business about recollecting before I launch, and I think, you know, I've stumbled on that myself, and certainly in walking with many people in prayer or observing people in prayer, certainly in churches, boom, it's like, you know, you get in, your knees hit the kneeler, and right away you jump into something, and there's no sense of preparation. So that's where we began our conversation. I think that's always worth revisiting.
And Father, I think too that when you're talking about recollecting, I mean, this could be done on a moment's basis. I mean, it's not as if, okay, I really want to pray today, but I got to take 20 minutes out to kind of collect myself. That might militate against people actually praying. So
right.
This recollection is something that could be done almost instantly, but it is necessary.
Yes, and again, you're absolutely right. It's not something that I now create some other elaborate process. However, I think, you know, as we grow and mature in prayer, I think we'll find that as I mature in prayer, first of all, it's not an obligation to be recollected. It's like, this is, I know what I need, and I might take longer for that. So there's no sort of time limit placed on it. Yet at the same time, it doesn't have to be something that's very intricate and elaborate. It's just simply whatever the prayer posture I happen to be in or the location of the environment is just stopping for a moment to recognize what I'm entering into. Because I think the mistake we make is just because religious words start flowing out of my mouth or they're going around in my head, you know, I'm mentally thinking a Hail Mary or Our Father comes out of my mouth or I open and start reading a passage of scripture, I begin the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And others, I think we think just because like religious language is coming out of my mouth, therefore I am praying. So sometimes it's just simply like, you know, Lord, open me up to what I'm about to engage. Blessed Mother, I know you are here joining me as I think about your life and the mysteries of Christ or whatever. And just, you know, again, I think it's literally like take a deep breath and then begin. So, yeah, it could be something that's, you know, 10 seconds, 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds or whatever, because I think we do sometimes have that tendency of just it's almost like you just slide into it, or, oh my gosh, I'm running out of time. The day is almost over. I've got to get these prayers in. And so I grab the book and I plop myself down and, you know, it's off to a race.
I guess I could relate it to if we intend on having a conversation with another person, instead of, you know, just sort of beginning to express words, we take the time to make eye contact. You know, it's almost as if we want to connect with God first, and we can only do so if we put away those distractions and recollect, as you said. But I think about it in terms of making eye contact with another person before we begin to speak and be open to listening.
Yeah, I think that's a really great image, a great way of thinking about it. Just like, I mean, there are times when we're encountering other people, we, you know, right away we launch in. It's like, oh my gosh, did you hear what happened? But most of the time, again, this idea of just we're making eye contact with somebody, or, you know, a lot of our conversation with other people, even if there's something really pressing that we want to share with somebody, we normally will start off, so how are you? You know, how are things going? Thanks for, you know, stopping by to see me today. Or I'm glad you had some time for me. And then we launch into whatever, some joyful news or something that's difficult. But it really is a way of, I think that is a great image. It's like I'm just making eye contact with God so that we can establish that we are in each other's presence and then moving on from that. So that's kind of where we began our series. And then we kind of followed up from that. One of the major things that Guardini wants to address in the book is we talked about it as the reality of God, facets of who God is, and kind of the way I described it was if prayer is what it is conversation with God, then we need to know who are we talking to, what's the nature of this God. And so he draws a lot out of descriptions in Scripture. And the interesting thing is it who God is has implications for not only why we pray, but how we pray. So we look at things like the holiness of God, the majesty of God, the bountifulness, the graciousness of God. And while that helps us know who we're speaking with in prayer, it also had implications for the way that we pray. You know, because God is holy, we want to participate in that holiness with God. And so that calls for a certain kind of form of prayer. So we spent quite a bit of time in our second session just looking at, again, visiting who God is. And what I liked about his approach is it's not that there was a lack of theology there, but what it really was is these characteristics are all incredibly scriptural based. So we were looking at the God who reveals God in the Scripture, who Jesus reveals the Father to be, and then saying like, okay, we can approach this God because this God is bountiful and merciful, and the majesty of God is not something, I think one of the important points he made was that the majesty of God, the holiness of God, we sometimes think is something that pushes us away, that we're not worthy to be in the presence of, and yet Guardini would say it's the very thing that attracts us to God. God's holiness is like, oh my gosh, I want to be a part of that. This glorious majesty of God, yeah, maybe I feel a little humble, more than a little humble in its presence, but wow, this is really attractive. I want to be part of that. So it was important that we looked at different qualities of God. Also, it helped, I think, expand our vocabulary about how we pray to God, because we can address God in the holiness of God, the majesty of God. Sometimes our prayer is about thanksgiving and gratitude because we know how bountiful God is.
I think some people, too, Father, they see God as, okay, I know he is love, but I still can't get past the idea of God as an authority figure. And he's withholding something from me because I, in some way, have just not met his standard to one degree or another. And they sort of have this idea that God wants to hold back on us. And yet what you just described is that's not who God is. So most people, I mean, generally, I think most people have a very perverted view of who God is. And I think that oftentimes militates against their willingness really to engage in prayer.
I think that's very true. And the way that I would put it is, and I think this is a struggle for, all of us, is that many of our challenges, I guess, in faith, in our relationship with God, at all levels of faith, certainly in prayer, is because I would say that many times I think we want to limit God. Part of that is because it's our human nature to be able to comprehend things. We naturally are drawn to limitations. Mm-hmm. Like, I only can think about this right now. Or
we have to categorize everything.
We have to categorize, and especially in a culture, the culture in the world in which we live, in order to maintain a healthy life in the midst of all the things that are swirling around us, we tend to compartmentalize, mm-hmm. categorize. Mm. Sort of our whole culture is built around that. You know, mm-hmm. all of media and all of social media works by simply categorizing people. In fact, you know, we tend to forget about every time you and I make a click on a phone or a computer, we are being categorized as, oh my gosh, they're interested in this, mm-hmm. or they're interested in that, and this is how old they are, and mm-hmm. oh my gosh, they bought 3 brown pieces of clothing in the past week, and so they're really brown clothing type of people, you know? I mean, all this is out there categorizing
us. They want to look like a tree, you know?
Because you know, people wonder, geez, I opened up, I ordered a brown dress last week, and now I can't get brown dress advertising off of my computer.
So true.
So we kind of, that exacerbates something we already do with God, and that is we compartmentalize God. And so when it comes then to prayer, we have a hard time of understanding that this God, so near, so close to us, incarnated in Jesus Christ, is beyond us. Mm. But not beyond us in the sense of, I don't have any access to this God, I can't understand this God. So I think, for me, one of the great challenges of faith and a great challenge of prayer is every time I think I know God and I want to put a label on God, mm-hmm. I am falling woefully short of what mm-hmm. that means. So even if I really have experienced the mercy of God in my life and I really cling to that, my sense of understanding of the mercy of God, it's like a drop in the ocean. So I think that can kind of help us in prayer, is that when we want to start putting restrictions on God, oh, God can't forgive me for this. Oh, I missed these prayers, so God is certainly not happy with me today. Immediately what we're doing is putting some limitation on God. Mm. And of course, the very nature of God, what is the meaning of the word God? Mm-hmm. It's what the word we use to describe everything that is completely beyond us,
right.
That has no limitation,
that's right.
That has
yeah.
no boundaries. Now, for some people, I think that can be troublesome. No, I need God to be very, mm-hmm. This was the gospel, one of the aspects of the gospel this past Sunday. People are always wanting to draw lines, mm-hmm. and we want God to be a line drawer too. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was drawing some lines in the sand that day, but
not
his
the
lines,
ones they wanted.
But not the ones that they wanted.
We always want God to agree with our lines.
Exactly, right. So, that whole business about the nature of God, I think, always continues to be a challenge. Then we kind of moved on from that to talk a little bit about prayer of petition and thanksgiving and how ultimately they're really complementary. And I guess in all honesty, most of us would say I'm kind of heavy on petition, maybe not so much on Thanksgiving. But we really began to see that they are complementary with each other, that one leads to the other. And mm-hmm. not so much seeking a balance between the two of them, because different events of life are going to call us towards different things. I'm really in a period of time where there's deep need, and so I may make a perfunctory, well, thank you, Lord, for calling me to your presence today, but now here's the agenda.
Right.
So it's not.
But the Our Father is that way.
And that's exactly. We spent a lot of time that session looking at the Our Father. It's all petition.
All petition.
And Guardini mentions, we talked about that particular day. So the one time that the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray, he gives them a prayer that's 90% petitionary.
Yeah.
So, there's something okay about that. But it's the it's this complementarity between the two. And then we went on our last time together, talked about prayer to the saints, prayer to the Mother of God, and that our relationship to the saints is a way of drawing us closer to God, to the majesty of God. Talked a little bit about the unique role and dignity of Mary, and how, in many ways, Guardini just says, you know, the bottom line of praying to saints and praying to the Mother of God is we just want to be with these people. Mm-hmm. We want to be in their circle. Mm-hmm. We want to be with them, accompanying us and us accompanying them. And so there's nothing distorted about, as some Christians would say, oh, you Catholics and your prayer to saints and veneration of adoration of Mary and all this sort of thing. There's an incredibly natural thing mm-hmm. about wanting to be in the aura of people who have walked the path of Christ already, have lived it with great integrity, who've been through the battles that we're going through. Is like, who wouldn't want to be connected to these people?
Who doesn't want to be part of God's in crowd, you know, so to speak?
And again, part of it is very much tied to our Christian belief that as we pray in funeral prayers, the bonds that we forge in this life do not unravel in death. They continue. So our relationships from this life continue mm-hmm. in the next life. There is no great chasm, in a sense, between us and our loved ones. And so prayer to, with, for saints, our own departed beloved, the Mother of God, these are all very natural things when you think about it from that standpoint, because the relationships continue. Mm-hmm. And certainly, bottom line is, they're in a much better position, better place than we are today. Right. And so we want to draw on that and the love and care that they had. And this is one of the points that was really great that Guardini made, is saints are saints, recognized as saints, because their lives were about care and service of others. And so their new heavenly life mm-hmm. continues to be about care for others, mm-hmm. service of others in a different way than it was here on earth. So, of course, they're going to be advocates mm-hmm. for us still struggling, you know, on this side of heaven.
Well, they inspire us, and at the very same time, recognizing that they still live, as Christians, it helps us really deal with the fear of death, that we have greater hope in eternity. And I think what that does, Father, that just reinforces our faith.
Well, I think the word you use there is very important. So when it comes to, I don't know if we want to say, what's the justification, or how can we engage in apologetics when someone criticizes us about veneration, prayer to saints and the Blessed Mother, is they continue to live. Mm-hmm. That's the operative word. Mm-hmm. They have not gone away someplace. They're not a happy memory. They live. This is our hope in eternal life. They live with God. They're very much alive and living in a different way mm-hmm. than we are. Mm-hmm. So they're very much alive. So our relationship with them not only continues, but why not? So that's kind of where we have traveled, you know, over the course of our pilgrimage. And then today we wanted to turn our attention to something that's, you know, certainly a very challenging subject, but yet one that is, I would say, as common to us as petitionary prayer. And that is, Guardini approaches the whole topic of what he calls prayer in times of incapacity. You know, what do you do when it just doesn't seem to be coming? And prayer is, you know, he told us in the very beginning of the book, prayer is toil.
Yes.
it's work. It's not always a bed of roses. But then there are times in our lives, I guess I would call the seasons of our lives, when the burden, what he says is the burdens of life just simply seem to inhibit prayer. So that's what we want to kind of explore today. But one of the things I wanted to share before we kind of got into the topic is I've mentioned numerous times during the course of our conversation, our study, about how much I love the honesty and the directness of Guardini's writing. And as he begins the chapter of his book, which is actually chapter 8, Prayers in Times of Incapacity, he says something very interesting about his own writing and reflections, and I would say ditto for our listeners in terms of the series that we've had together. He says that, you know, Life is so diverse that anyone discussing it must content themselves with striking a mean, knowing the general propositions never fully do justice to any individual case. Thus, the reader may feel that many of the views put forward in this book are not correct, or only partly so. And then he goes on to say that, you know, there is the possibility that basically what I've laid out here just doesn't connect with you. And you know what? That's okay. If it should prove to be that what you're thinking about prayer and your insights, they're not in agreement with mine, that's really great. And he said, if you are at a place of prayer and the maturity of prayer in your life, that basically this book is of no help to you, or you're not connecting with it, he said the best thing you can do is put it aside and move on to something
it's
else.
It's pretty honest.
So I thought, you know, wow, that's really great. So I would say that to our listeners as well, you know, along the way of our conversations, you know, as things happen.
That doesn't necessarily sell books, though, Father.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, if you
sell
think
books.
About it, but he's obviously very honest, which would make me really pay more attention to what he has to say.
Right, exactly. So again, I love that idea that, you know, so I think that's a good place for us to begin in the final two programs on this Lenten radio pilgrimage, is that, you know, if things are connecting, great. If they're not, you know, don't tune in again for the final session. Listen to Treasures of Faith Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
You know, Father, and I know you're in your experience as a priest and as a pastor, I've encountered people who, for whatever reason, are experiencing physical pain. And oftentimes they'll say to me, you know, I'm in pain physically. I just can't pray. Mm-hmm. And I think Gardini has a real appreciation for that impediment to prayer.
Absolutely. And I mean, the classic line that he uses, and I don't think I ever took it from this book, but it's something that I think I have advocated for a long time in many different kinds of spiritual venues. And that is the reality that life affects prayer. Mm. Life affects prayer. Life affects faith. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it may seem, maybe when we hear it now, oh, that's very obvious, but we have to take that seriously, that whatever is happening in life, from the sublime to the ridiculous, is necessarily going to affect prayer, because the flip side of it is prayer is about engaging God about my life. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I mean, if I'm, you know, really struggling with some physical illness, mental challenges, you know, whatever it happens to be, is, boy, I just really got some bad news on my way to church, or I met a friend at the church door and they told me about something that's happening in their life, and so now I'm going into church. You know, 2 minutes ago I was like, whatever, it was like Christmas, and now I'm coming in and I'm just distracted in the mass, and this is life. The fact that life affects prayer, he says, is something we really have to understand and struggle with. And so he says sometimes the inability to pray is something which may happen in one form or another to any of us. And he goes on to say, again, in his honesty, probably not only once, but often. So right from the very beginning, talks about the challenges of life. And one of the reasons, he tells us, is that life does not flow evenly. And this is, I've shared this also recently, we may have talked about this during the course of our pilgrimage, is that it's an insight that in my own spiritual, personal spiritual development and maturing, hopefully, and what I try to share with others, is that it's hard to use the language of balance when it comes to faith or life, because life doesn't flow evenly. Mm-hmm. So seeking balance is not always, I don't think, the best image for us to use, because it means that life is going to be some sort
even
of
out somewhere.
Even out somehow. But the reality of life is sometimes it's, you know, 90%, 70% sinking, ups, downs, roller coaster, whatever words we want to use. And so faith and prayer are going to follow the contours of that as well.
I've heard spiritual writers talk about, you know, you have mountaintop experiences, and then you're down in the valley. And some have suggested that you somewhere live in between. And I'm thinking of, you know, but that's really not reality.
No.
You know, that's sort of assuming that I can control all of these events in my life and somehow live in a place of complete boredom, I guess you could conclude.
Right. I mean, and I think that's your point there, I think, is well taken. That sort of attitude, what it does is it also sort of feeds that, I don't know, egotistical sense that I can fix everything. I can control things. No. Oh, well, I'm down now, so all I have to do is A, B, and C, and then I'll be up. Mm. Or I'm really up, but I'm nervous that I'll be down, and so somehow I can manipulate things. So what Guardini says is, you know, life is and we know this, life is filled with, there are times of abundance, times of energy, happy, successful. And then there are times of emptiness, physical, mental weariness, true physical pain, mental pain. Sometimes we're just lethargic. I often say in homilies that, you know, sometimes our greatest sin is just the sin of laziness, indifference. Mm. I'd rather meet somebody who's like all on fire one way or the other rather than meet someone who's just disinterested.
Complete apathy.
You know, and sometimes we have these experiences of inner poverty, great frustration. One of the greatest things that, I mean, if I heard it once during this year's round of Lenten penance services, I heard it a million times, Father, I'm just impatient. Mm. Well, that tells me, obviously, I'm not surprised by that, because the world in which we live is mitigating, putting so much pressure on us in our daily life, false expectations, pushing, being all things to all, I mean, all the mechanisms of culture around us cannot lead to anything but impatience. So all of these things are happening. We have times of fatigue. A lot of our daily routine, I don't care what your job is or if you're retired, there's a lot of monotonous work that we do every day. Illness, worry, insoluble difficulties that we just can't, they're intractable. So this is life. And what Guardini wants to say is all of that affects prayer.
And I think in my own experience, I've experienced almost a kind of paralysis when I go to pray, and if I'm really distracted or if something is very heavy on my heart, I don't know what to say. And so sometimes I think to myself, well, I'm just going to allow God to hear my thoughts at this point, and somehow maybe focus on listening a little more than actually verbalizing something.
Right. And he says very, very beautifully that, you know, it's not, these are his words, it's not a robot or an electronic brain which prays.
Mm.
There are times when we neither have the strength nor the joy to pray. Sometimes we even get to the point we may seem inwardly dead and there seems no reason to persevere. So he lays out first that this is the reality. So let's not lay more guilt on ourselves that, oh my gosh, I shouldn't feel this way. God is good. And so he lays out that reality. And then what we'll see when we pick up again is he has some remedies for that. He has some suggestions about, okay, so what do we do or not do? How do we respond when we're in the middle of those kinds of things? Because what he wants to ultimately tell us is that prayer is possible even in the midst of our incapacities. Mm-hmm. And he'll offer some suggestions on how we can do that.
And that's really the beauty of this series, Father, is that Guardini is very realistic about this subject. He's not sugarcoating it.
No.
He's not making us feel guilty in any way when we struggle with prayer. Well, we're going to take a break, and on the other side, we're going to continue our conversation with Father Ben based on the book, The Art of Praying by Romano Guardini. You are listening to Treasures of Faith on Divine Mercy Radio. Welcome back to Treasures of Faith. I'm joined by Father Ben Barenti. He's the pastor of Immaculate Conception Parish here in the Orlando Diocese in Melbourne Beach. And we have been conducting a series on the subject of prayer. again, based on just an amazing book, The Art of Praying by Romano Guardini. And Father, before the break, we started talking a little bit about how life affects prayer.
Right. And one of the things, before we want to turn our attention to remedies or admonitions about, okay, what do we do when we find ourselves in these situations, is he really makes, an important point, interesting point, and something I think that, again, we can get a little cockeyed about in our spirituality. And he said that, you know, many times people will say things like, well, you know, sorrow, it draws you nearer to God, or, you know, the frustration I'm experiencing. In other words, all this sort of the downside of life. Because you got diagnosed with cancer, it's going to draw you closer to God. Mm. And what Guardini says, quite frankly, in the book is, he said, that's only a half truth. And I think the way that I've often seen that is these kinds of things, and I would say the upside of things too, they have the capacity, the potential to draw us closer to God, because I would probably say most of us have seen in our own lives or in the lives of people we know, and certainly as a pastor, as many times as something like a negative can draw someone or open up the possibility to be closer to God, it has driven people away from God. Mm. And we can't just simply say, well, they didn't have enough faith, mm-hmm. or, oh, if they would have gone to church every Sunday. No, mm-hmm. these are sometimes people who've lived a more stellar faith than I can even begin to imagine for myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that, you know, he helps us not sort of play that game. Well, when you have you're incapacitated or it's really a struggle to pray, oh, this is the moment when God is just going to open up all kinds of possibilities for you. There's the potential for that. Mm-hmm. There's the possibility of that if we do what he's going to suggest, enter into that. But it's not de facto, oh, because there's bad news in my life, I am going to draw more intimately with God. So I think that's an important kind of thing to think about when we're looking at obstacles to prayer.
Well, I think sometimes people think, Father, you know, God did this to me because he wants me to get closer to him, so I have to kind of accept that for what it is. And you know, God allows things in our lives, but people, again, like you said, they take those things very different. Some people would say, you know, I've been a very faithful Catholic. You know, I've prayed every day. You know, I might pray the rosary every day or the chaplet. I go to Mass on a regular basis, and God does this to me?
Right.
You know, well, I guess I'm going to let God know I'm unhappy. You know, it all goes back to really these control issues mm-hmm. that we have.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If and when we do that in our faith life and our faith journey and relationship to God, we're in good company, because the scriptures are loaded with all
yes.
kinds of people who,
yes.
who did and said the exact same things. But I think, my admonition is that, you know, as a community of faith, and when we're encountering, you know, so not just in our own lives, but we're encountering people who maybe are struggling in prayer, or are facing, we just have to be careful that the language that we use with them, so that we're not just simply, you know, a friend tells us about some diagnosis of illness, and right away we say, whoa, you know, that you are going to come so close to God during this period mm-hmm. of time. So mm-hmm. it's just an admonition for mm-hmm. us. Now, we want them to.
Sure.
I pray that this might be an occasion where they work through this reality and it becomes an occasion to meet God in a different kind of mm-hmm. way. But I certainly don't want to impose or be presumptuous, because again, I have seen too many experiences where this has really been the end in many ways of people's relationship with God, at least for a period of time. And again, we can't just simply fall back on, oh, well, poor things. They mm-hmm. they didn't trust enough,
right.
you know, trust enough in God. And then somehow they become, they're victimized again mm-hmm. By our well intentions. And so obstacles of prayer, it's just, I think our point here at the first part of the show is just to be honest about those and know that there is a way to work with them and through them. No guarantees. Mm-hmm. There's not a secret pill or a secret formula. And I think this is also, as people of faith, we have to be careful about, you know, sometimes certain kind of prayer formats or, I don't know, devotions that we have, prayers to the saints, certain chaplets or things like that. I mean, sometimes they might work beautifully for somebody, but don't automatically think, oh, for crying out loud, mm-hmm. if you just would have done this,
right.
you yeah. know, done the chaplet of the precious blood, you know, you wouldn't have had to deal with these kinds of things. So I think we mean well. We're trying to be supportive of people when they find obstacles to prayer, but we just have to be careful that we're not just sort of laying some kind of a template on them and then, in a sense, criticizing them because, well, if you would have just done that.
Some Christians function like spiritual alchemists. You know, they think that they've got the formula, and it works in every situation with every person. And, you know, oftentimes what we do is we go around and we don't mean to, but we often misrepresent God in a given situation.
Yeah, and I think part of it is I think one of the challenges, and I know this in my own relationship with people, pastor relationship, is when we want to, even for the best of reasons, want to impose some kind of a formula or, like you said, some sort of alchemy. If you just take three parts that and two parts this and throw in something else, there'll be a response, you know, a positive response, is that we're not honoring the uniqueness that is the gift of God to each of us. Mm. So even though sometimes you and I might talk about something, it's like, oh, wow, or, you know, we've had a very similar experience, and, you know, we're touching on a number of different points, but you're you, I'm me. So when we kind of want to lay a formula, even sometimes, you know, and this is, I think, again, a challenge of faith, and people have to sort through this themselves. I don't want to try to answer this, what I'm about to say, answer it myself for the moment. Oh, but the revelation that came from St. Catherine, Mother Mary, Sister Clotilda, Father Francis, it says, if you just do this, this will be the benefit you will receive. So, quite frankly, I'm not sure what to do with that. So maybe sometimes our motivation is, well, it says right here, this devotion has been really beautiful for me and has brought me much grace and peace. It says right here, like here, there's a guarantee at the bottom. I'm not sure what to do with that because I don't think quite that's not how God works. And it's, again, not that it isn't beautiful and valuable, but it's not respecting the uniqueness of every individual in their own, in the deepest level of their heart and soul, where they're relating to God, that maybe for me it isn't going to connect, it isn't going to work. So it's not a failure of the devotion. It's not a failure on anybody's part. It's just simply that I'm so these kind of blanket sort of statements, I think we mean well by them, but as each of us face various obstacles to prayer and the uneven flow of our lives, we just have to be careful about, even with the best of intentions, not superimposing, formulaic.
I think I've come to believe, Father, that faith, though it has expectations, it should never be on my own terms.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the gist of it all. So, you know, let's kind of lift up some responses that Guardini proposes. His main point. And we've seen him refer to this earlier on in our series, too, as he comes back to the word perseverance. He said, perseverance overcomes most obstacles to prayer. And as we're going to see, again, we don't want to take that as like, oh, just the magic pill. I swallow perseverance and therefore everything works out all right. So what he begins by saying is that in general terms, so when I'm finding myself facing obstacle to prayer, whatever it is in the flow of life, he said, here's a few things to just think about in general. One is to not give in too quickly. You know, don't abandon the whole ball yard too quickly. And again, I think this is one of the challenges of the culture we live in. We kind of have this sense.
Especially of, today.
Today, it's just, you know, you don't like something, you get rid of it. I don't like the taste of that. I throw it in the garbage.
Yeah. Throwaway culture.
It isn't what I wanted it to be, so I march up to the service desk of the Target and I put it down and I'm going to get satisfaction and I actually want something on top of that for the trouble I've had to go through. You know? So, so part of it is like, don't give in too quickly. Another thing he says is that, you know, part of the beginning of overcoming and facing prayer in the times of incapacity is perspective. We always need give some time for a different perspective because, you know, quite frankly, right now, the position I'm in, this is all I can see. And so maybe I need a little bit of a different perspective. In one of the books that I wrote, there's a life lesson from the book Life Lessons from the Land of Enchantment. And one of the life lessons is this, that in order to see what's right here, sometimes you have to get up and go over there. Mm. In other words, sometimes I've been looking at something too long, and I've been staring in the face. And what I really need to, in other words, to really see and understand what's happening right here in front of me, I have to get up and go over there. Sometimes physically. So we have seen already in prayer, if prayer isn't working because, you know, I've been in my favorite prayer spot, but my favorite prayer spot isn't working, I maybe got to get up and I've got to physically relocate.
That requires us to be open, and openness to maybe a, like you mentioned, Father, a different perspective. But that really speaks of having a greater trust. You know, it really does go back to that if I'm really going to have a successful prayer life, I have to trust that God is for me in this.
Right.
And he's not shutting down because I'm not somehow meeting his expectation in this area.
Right. I mean, the faithfulness of God, I mean, is there perhaps a more recurring theme in all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament? We heard it in this morning's reading. You know, we are tired of this wretched food. We need to go back to the. I think we liked it better when we were in slave labor and making bricks out of straw and mud. And
but we had leeks and onions.
But we had leeks and onions. Talk about wretched food. I mean, really. I told the people this morning at Mass when I was giving a little homilette on that. I said, you know, just more lightheartedly, I said, I cannot approach that scripture every time it comes around from Numbers because it was my favorite scripture reading, was our favorite scripture reading in the high school seminary, especially the line, we are sick of this wretched food. We were very disrespectful teenagers at the time, and the sisters who were cooking for us in the high school seminary, I mean, sometimes you'd go up to the cafeteria line and think, oh my gosh,
oh, no, what is this?
What is this, or what's hiding underneath there? You know, you dug the spoon into scrambled eggs and found yesterday's liver underneath it. So this,
it's the trick of gravy.
Exactly.
Covers a multitude of sins.
Well, of course, that's why the French invented sauces to cover rotten meat.
Yes.
So we you know, we can kind of do this. So, you know, and I think that's a kind of an interesting apropos metaphor for our conversation about obstacles to prayer is what Guardini is saying is we're not going to put some nice sauce over top of something that isn't very appealing underneath. No, we need to face that we encounter these struggles, so perspective is needed. And then he comes back to a point we mentioned a little bit earlier. He said, now remember, people don't enjoy prayer, you know, all the time. That just like relationships are not always enjoyable.
Right.
We're not always, you know, stars in our eyes. And so relationship with God, this may be hard for us to process because God is all good, God is all wonderful, God is all loving. How can I not enjoy this time with God? Why can't I always enjoy time with God? Because my life is very uneven. And right now this life is filled with a heck of a lot of frustration. So that affects my ability to be in relationship with God. So those are kind of in his general terms. But then he comes back to the sense of perseverance. And it is perseverance. What does perseverance mean? It's faithfulness, adherence to discipline, adherence to even wanting to spend time in prayer, even if it's just a couple of minutes or just an acknowledgement of God. That's what's incredibly important. So even in the midst of whatever incapacity that I have right now, I want to try to persevere, even if it's a very loose connection right now, to use the image. Maybe the thread is really
stretching
it right now. But he'd say, so Guardini says, well, why do you want to even persevere? Because of prayer's powerful effect. No matter what, prayer always has a powerful effect in our life. And he says this, it increases self-confidence, it increases our interior strength. Even perfunctory prayer in the midst of a dry period, dry season, it's a form of stability. He makes a reference to St. Anthony the Hermit. And he tells a story that's passed on in the Desert Fathers that for St. Anthony, he was emerging after a period of great distress, great temptation. And he was asked by his fellow monks as he came out of that, he said, what was happening there? And he said, well, you know, the whole time I kept thinking to myself, where were you, O Lord, in these days of distress and temptation? And he said the answer came back to him when God said to him, closer than ever before. So why persevere even if it's, you know, no, we're not firing on all the pistons? Or as you had mentioned earlier, it's like, I don't even know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing is I don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to force something. And yet at the same time, and we'll look at this in our last session, the place of sort of ritual prayer and a rote prayer, if you will. It's kind of a derogatory term, but sort of rote prayer is, even that can be helpful because it's
yes,
keeping the connection alive, and that the church is providing me with words when I don't have words.
Mm-hmm.
So, but why even bother persevering is because adherence to discipline is important. There will be times that we have to live in faith alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the point that you made a little bit earlier. It just comes down to the sense, and maybe for some folks that seems like, well, that's pretty, I don't know, kind of like cotton candy. Oh, just be faithful. But Guardini's not, again, he's not saying let's put some gravy over the rotten meat. No, sometimes we just have to live in faith alone. Why? Because that's where the seed of the future, these are his words now, his image, it's where the seed of the future put out its roots.
Mm.
So it's in the, literally, like the seed growing in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the roots are beginning. The future is dependent upon that still living by faith alone because roots are still going out there. So
we're choosing, you know, at every point to believe. You know, I know we're going around this in a variety of ways, but it really is about hanging on, even when it's really difficult, and choosing to believe that there is real value to this thing we call prayer. We can't always explain it, but we just know that it has worth.
Because ultimately, prayer isn't about preserving the activity of prayer.
Right.
And this is where we get stuck. The value of persevering in prayer is because it's the thing that connects me to someone that is worth being connected to. That I don't want to lose that relationship, because to lose a relationship with God or to put it on a shelf or ignore it or shut it down for the rest of my life is the greatest loss we could experience in our lives. And so we're not trying to adhere to prayer or stay disciplined or committed to it or persevere in it simply because, I don't know, saying these words, attending this liturgy has value in and of itself. It's the reason we're engaging in it is because I want to stay even in the midst of my sorrow same thing can happen. In the midst of my ecstatic joy, I'm forgetting God too because I'm so overcome with what I just accomplished or what just happened. No, it's the way that we still stay connected to the source of our very being and the one who lives within our very heart and soul. He also goes on to kind of another dimension of this is, he says that sometimes we lose connectiveness in prayer. One of the great obstacles to prayer for us, which we haven't looked at yet, is that in times of what he calls moral defeat, or the awareness of our own sin.
Mm.
When we have this real, so it's not just the ups and downs of life. He said, especially for people of faith, is that, you know, I'm finding that an obstacle to prayer right now is the awareness of my own sinfulness. Mm. Or I really feel separated from God because of what I've done. Or I am just at a period of complete moral defeat because of what I just did or things I've been thinking. Mm-hmm. And he says that those experiences in life also may deepen our incapacity for prayer. So that we, you know, we're so aware of, and in my parish community this past Sunday in our adult session, we talked about the whole place of self-examination, a daily examination of conscience, as well as examination of consciousness and awareness and all those sort of things. But the purpose of it is awareness of sin isn't meant to drive us away from God or become another reason not to pray. But for many people, it can be that way. So what we're doing is we're making a self-imposed barrier. And sometimes he said, we kind of cheat with that. Then that gives me a reason not to pray.
Not to pray.
I'm so, you know, I just did such a terrible thing, or I've been engaged in this very unholy activity the last couple of days. So, you know, of course I'm not going to pray.
Mm.
So he said, we sometimes use that as a as an excuse. So one of the things I think is really important, I would say this applies to a lot of things of the spiritual life, and we were kind of talking about this before we went on the air today, is Guardini says, you know, try not to be too sensitive with yourself. He said, sometimes try not to be too sensitive with ourselves. You know, admit guilt, start afresh without allowing it to interfere with our normal life of prayer. And so then he goes on to say that, you know, again, sometimes it's very useful to change the form of our prayer, the wording of our prayers. Try something new and unfamiliar that might stimulate.
Sometimes the posture of
our prayer. Exactly, the posture of prayer. And you know what? You just had knee surgery. You can't kneel for your devotion anymore. Mm-hmm. You can't kneel for it.
Which means I can't pray then?
Can't pray, or God's disappointed with me, or I have to go to confession to the last penance service of the Lenten season to say, Father, I missed my morning prayers because I just had knee surgery and I can't kneel. You know, so he says, don't be so sensitive on ourselves. Know that God is much more embracing and ingratiating. And then he ultimately says, you know, when all is to no avail, or it seems to us that nothing is working, he says this, and speaking of kneeling, these are the words he uses. He says, one should at least kneel or stand before God and simply say, I know that I ought to pray, Lord, but I'm able to do so. And he said, that's not some cheap get out of jail free. Guardini says this at least establishes our obligation to pray. Just to simply say, Lord, you're praying.
I mean, that's so insightful.
I mean, that's the point of it, is that it's at least establishing our relationship to pray. So, you know, the connection between faith, connection between perseverance, he just comes back to kind of reminding us that prayer in any form is a basic act of faith. And he says to us as believers, it's as basic to life as breathing is to life. And therefore, there's always going to be, if there's a struggle in faith, there's going to be a struggle with prayer. If there's a struggle in prayer, it's a struggle with faith. And somehow all of the struggles of our life, the daily ups and downs, they need to, his expression is, we need to translate those into prayer, not use them as excuses or just say, oh, that's the obstacle, I can't do it. But they become the very source of prayer. We translate the joys, the sorrows, and quite frankly, most of our life is in between those two extremes, and we have to just translate that into the language of prayer.
And it kind of gives us a sense, Father, of the importance of reverence, you know, that reverence is possible even when prayer is not. And, you know, when people are reverent, in a sense, it just has a way of bringing us to Him, maybe in a way that we didn't anticipate. Well, we're going to take a short break here again, Father. I want to remind our listeners, I'm with Father Ben. We're in a series called The Art of Praying, based on a book written by Romano Guardini. And we'll be back on the other side to really give you a sense of what we'll be addressing in our next session. You're listening to Divine Mercy Radio. Well, welcome back to Treasures of Faith. I'm here with Father Ben, and we've got a couple of minutes left in this session. We're reflecting on the art of praying. And Father, we were, before we took the break, we were talking about the importance of reverence.
Right. Guardini kind of finishes off the chapter on prayer when we feel incapacitated to pray, and that it's still possible. And he makes just a quick comment about reverence. He says reverence is possible even when prayer is not. And what he means by that is that the language he uses, that intimations, clues, hints, guesses of the holy, of God, abound. They're all around us. And so sometimes what he means by reverence is not necessarily, you know, kneel down with my hands folded or go to church or light a candle or something. But he said there are certain kind of what he calls hidden substitutes for prayer. Now, again, this isn't our goal. Let's find substitutes for prayer. But he says, in other words, having a posture of reverence, which for Guardini means just simply paying attention. And I think if you think about all of our acts of reverence, what are they really trying to do? Well, if they're just about giving a nice pious impression, that's not reverence. Reverence is about paying attention. So he says sometimes the remedy when we're stuck in prayer, the way we think about prayer, is just reverencing the mystery of God that's all around us, the beauty of a child, the people who are coming out with a smile on their face from the food pantry, the way that we just treat others with dignity and respect, the beauty of creation. And of course, you know, we live in a place that abounds with creation. So sometimes when we're stuck, reverence just simply is that. Mm-hmm. So we conclude the series next show, and we're going to be talking about the overall pattern of Christian prayer life. We're going to look at the relationship between personal prayer, which we've kind of been focusing on, and liturgical prayer. How do they complement each other? How are they different from each other?
Well, we appreciate you being with us, Father Ben, and this has been an amazing series, and we certainly invite our listeners to join us again. Father, could you give us a blessing as we conclude today?
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, even in the midst of sometimes our unfaithfulness to you. We thank you for the gift of the life that you give us, and guide us now as we enter into these most sacred days of our church year. We pray this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Treasures of Faith, and you're listening to Divine Mercy Radio, 920 AM.